categories of what the Kvala, where the Kvala pertains to, right?
You're saying that you can give
Shevach
Hamid just the
Hana
aspect itself, that's it?
It seems so. The thing as an entity of Hana, that's it.
What's your question now?
So now we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be in a greater, you have to be able to give Shevach in a greater category, right? But now if we look at the way the Rishonim define what you can't say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? A little bit of a reverse engineering. If you look at the way the Rishonim say that Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you look at the way the Rishonim define what Rabbi Yehuda says when he says you can't make the bracha, right? Then you'll know that's the category that the bracha has to be on.
You said that last time.
Then you'll know. Oh, there was a period there. You thought it was a comma. Okay. If you look at the way the Rishonim define min klala, coined Rabbi Yehuda, meaning what they say, when they say Rabbi Yehuda says you can't make the bracha, right? So then you'll know the what framework he's talking about, the entity that you have to be able to give the Shevach on what type of an entity you have to give the Shevach on.
And when you say on it, right. What is that it?
That's right. When we say that Rabbi Yehuda has to be on a greater, in a greater framework than just the experience of the Hana, right? But the question is finding what that greater framework is. So if you look at the way the Rishonim define the categories over here of when it's called the Min Klala, then you'll know that's the category that it has to be in.
Seems like the Rambam and Rabbi Yonah are easier than Rashi.
I think Rabbeinu Yonah is hard.
Oh yeah,
I think Rabbeinu Yonah is hard because at least the Rambam and Rashi are going out into the regular world. You know what I'm saying? They're going into a much more objective realm. They're leaving the Hanah completely.
Right. You're saying that Rabbeinu Yonah still remains within Opal.
He's still remaining within Opal.
It's hard to draw that
line. Yeah. So what is he saying though? So he's saying that it's an interesting thing. He holds it has to be on the entity as an Opal,
right?
It's an interesting thing. You have to be able to give Shevach on the entity as an Ochel. And he's saying, if as an Ochel, it's Mekulo, where's Yoshua Nathani, by the way?
He's not there.
And Zoldan?
Well, he never gets sick.
He's taking care of Yoshua Nathani? Kolo Mshamshav? Okay. So if you hold that what? That it's a min klala. Yeah. I mean, I know Nissan's not going to like this one, right? Of course, I had a hard time getting it to accept what I was saying about the vinegar.
Yeah.
And now this seems like it's going against it. Right? That's what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Good point. Yeah. He seems to be straddling a little bit. That's why to me he's hard. Let's take the other two first.
Rambam seems to go directly.
Rambam is what?
The entity as a.
Well, let's do what I wanted to say before. What I wanted to do before. Can we define the frameworks? Right? Define the framework. So
of the
machlokas in the time. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what framework is it in? It would seem it's in the culinary framework. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah. It's in the culinary framework. That you have all of the things that these two were reduced in their culinary existence. They existed on a high level or had the potential to exist on a high level. And in that framework of Ochel, they were reduced. I don't want to say cursed, but
yeah, you did. Sound like cursed.
But it's some type of klala, right? I mean, our word cursed is not, you know, has a lot of. What does he say? What does Rabbeinu Yonah say? He just says that they're
nifsedu.
Nifsedu. They suffered a setback. So, I'd like to see his lashon that one. Yeah. Shayu tova mitchila v'nifsedu. Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. It's a relative to their potential.
They degraded.
Because the grasshoppers they might not taste so good to begin with, but they're not reduced. It's a very important thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very important thing. Keep that in mind. But he's saying his framework is in the culinary framework. At least let's try to find it. Now, what framework would you say Rashi is in?
Yeah, process.
Yeah, but what does that to do with me? What does that have to do with man? I think David Rindy is right. It has to come back to how we relate to these frameworks. So what framework is that?
How we got this.
But that's not a framework. That's like a... What's the framework that it's a klola in?
I
never heard of a framework like that. You ever hear it too? But there was the, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the framework that the klola is in is in the culinary framework, mm-hmm. Right? You have an entity of you have a food entity, right? And in that framework, it was cursed. Okay, what's the framework that the klala is occurring in for Rashi?
Nature.
Nature?
The framework of the person?
The framework of the person, yeah. What framework?
His losses.
The monetary, correct. Now, as it seems that Rashi is learning, it's in the monetary framework. That all of these things represent to man a loss, a monetary loss.
How's that button?
They come through klala, but what's the klala? The klala is a monetary loss. Whoever gets wine, whenever the wine turns to vinegar, that's a loss. Whenever the novlos come, that's a loss. Whenever the chagavim come, it causes a loss. You might not be the one who suffers the loss itself. It's an objective thing. But these things come with a monetary setback. Right?
What does that have to do with bracha on achila?
Because you're not making the bracha on the achila. That's the point. Koin Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be able to be mishabeach on this thing in a more general framework.
In that more general framework is the monetary?
I don't know yet. We're just laying out the positions over here. We're just trying to define the frameworks that they're in, that they're isolating.
But so what do you mean? No, you're saying that this framework is monetary.
So he's saying that if we're getting the first step. We're going to try to find out the framework that if there's a klala in, each rishon says you can't make the bracha.
You're just saying klala has to make reference to a framework. And until you find that, then you can't go back to
right.
the machlokas. And
it's a klala in what framework? Moment? Huh?
Rambam agrees with Rashi's mamon?
No, doesn't seem so, because chometz is a klala in the framework of mamon. But the Rambam says that you don't make the you can still make the bracha quite review. Right? Mm-hmm. So what's the Rambam's framework is hard. His framework is hard. Because what he says, Chometz is not in it, and Chagavim and Novlos are, yeah.
So when we say none of the particular, I'm going to give him one, but when we say that there's this framework thing, and then there's the particular reason they gave, so for instance, like Rashi had Boten, and Rabbeinu Yonah had the fact that they were Mafsid. So that's a separate thing from whatever framework they're dealing with? That's within that framework, this is what occurred. Are those two different things, or those are the same things?
That's a description of why it's a klala in this framework.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In other words, you ever have something bad happen to you and a guy says, look on the bright side, right? So what does that mean? He says, change your framework. But in a certain framework, it's a klala. In another framework, it's not. Usually it's because it's not his framework, it's not so bad, but... How to do that with
from my framework.
From my point of view,
so it's great.
Great. but it always goes by your. That's why the Gemara. That's the Mishnah. That's like the Mishnah in what is it in the Haroah, right? It talks about it's an interesting Mishnah, right? Because it says over there that you make a bracha you make a bracha of Dayan HaEmes on things that are bad immediately, even though long term they might be good. You know what I mean? You got to make the bracha on the immediate. Like it says, if your land is flooded, and apparently you lose your crops, but that's going to enrich the property because it's going to bring down all of the rich nutrients from the higher lands. So the lower lands are always the better lands, always more fertile, because they get the nutrients drained down. But right now it's bad. So even though right now it's bad, what did I say? Make sure I have the right. Chayev Levar, Chayev Adam.
That's a good joke.
No, it's the wrong one. Hold on. Right, Al-Basuros Ro'os, Omer Baruch Dayana Emes. Right, so what is Basuros Ro'os? Because it says, Al-Basuros Tovos, one second. Let me just make sure I got the right. What is it going on? So the Gemara says like this.
What document? I'm
trying to find it. What's that? It's on, what is it, Nun Vav? I think it's on Nun Vav. All of these. No. Because it's a funny mission. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, "Mavorich al hara me'ein al hatova." The al hatova me'ein al hara. So, what's a tova that's me'ein al hara and a hara that's me'ein hatova? That's the Gemara's question. So it says it means it's a good thing. It's a good immediate with a bad that could have a bad outcome, or it's a bad immediate that has a good outcome.
See, whatever it's me'ein of is the further thing.
Yeah.
The longer term.
Right. The longer term.
Tova me'ein hara means good now, but bad.
That's right.
So you wouldn't make a baruch dayan emes
on that. No, I think you make a baruch dayan emes on the immediate. That's why we wanted to find this. Hold on.
But you make it on both. Either way.
Either way, you go with the immediate. Right.
Oh, you always go with the immediate.
You always go with the immediate. Let me just make sure I'm right, though. Hold on. What's that? Come on, doesn't everybody know brachos already? What's going on here? Where's Yeshua Nehemiah when we need him? Right, he knows his stuff. How is he going? It's such a big mission, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Alright, I have to get it later. We'll fill in this gap. We'll fill in this gap. What? Right. Yeah. What? You got it? No? Alright. Can't spend all day finding something. So what do you want? So the Rambam? What's the Rambam's framework?
It's how does man view the existence of the thing?
It's true. It's pretty much as close as you can get.
maybe how it came about. Or
it's like just an existential thing.
Color.
Hard to define. Yeah. It's true. I mean.
It's like you objectify this object from its state into the realm of man. That's it. That's the end of the story. Just when man views this object,
it is
interesting,
the word object and objective. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. Just good. Objectify the object. It's like.
You just bring it into the realm of man. Fire, how does man view this object?
Right.
Man was
no, not to any other, not to anything else.
How does he just say outside the realm of money? You know what I'm saying? Is money just like, not, well, why are you saying that?
No, because it doesn't take into account any other events that are surrounding this object. If somebody would put this object in front of you, would man relate to it as?
In other words, it would seem we could get a little better, maybe.
Yeah.
Seem a little better is utility. How about utility?
Making a lot of money.
I'm more comfortable with that.
Yeah, that works.
With vinegar, it's not relative to the iron that it's quality.
That's right. It has utility. Right. As utility, it's a good thing. Novlos are not. And Chagovim are not.
Why are Chagovim not?
Because on the whole, they're counterproductive.
They're net utility.
That's not utility.
As an object of utility. As an object of utility. That's what I was trying to work out with Nissan over there.
Net utility.
No, just because something has a use, that's not how you talk about its objective utility. In other words, you can have something like radiation. I mean, it has its uses, but on the whole, well, that's a bad example. That's a bad example because the uses that it has are life-saving. But
you don't talk about something that, like, you don't talk about bread as, like, it could be used for a great insulation for a house.
You're right. We don't talk about that.
Why don't we? That's the question.
Ginger.
You have a hard time
like
cleaning for pizza.
Having some drafts in your ass? Yeah.
I think you blew
that.
Somebody thought it was
the sun's rays. It has its utility.
But that's like the silver lining idea. I mean, that's like the, you know, well, that's like it does have a redeeming quality. But as an entity of utility, if you were saying, well, I want, if I, like I said the other day, if you're saying, let's fill the world with useful things, would you make Chagovim? No. Right? Just because after they destroyed everything you can eat them doesn't mean we can now call them objectively useful things. If I wanted vinegar, yeah, I would include vinegar. But I wouldn't include chagov.
What do you mean? It has to be man.
That's just an accidental thing, right? That's just an accidental thing. I mean, obviously, chokmas, bore, chagovim have a purpose. Could be klala is the purpose. but no, the Ram seems to be against that idea, right? Like, because the Ram says that everything has a purpose, right? Did we have the big fight in this? Was it in this year or no? Past group of guys about that. What's that? Yeah, the Ram in Perish Nice, in the Hakdama,
right?
To the whole Perish Nice, right? He discusses how to interpret an agadic statement, right? And he uses the statement that Ein lo la kodesh baruch hu ba'olamo. Right. So in the course of explaining that, he says that everything in this world has a purpose for man. And he says, and maybe you say, what about poison snakes? Right?
Yeah.
So he says, no, from their poison you can derive useful things. But he doesn't say they're useful to kill bad people. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't seem to say, like I was joking, that you can say the Chagavim are useful to destroy... evil people's crops. No. But that the Ram didn't, apparently doesn't hold, that's considered useful. Uh-huh. Useful has to have a positive thing.
But isn't that going against like what you're trying to I thought you were trying to say. No, but we on the whole
can't. That's like a deeper idea of mishpat and everything. Right. That's like a deeper philosophical idea.
Right.
That's not a shevach.
That's not a man's immediate framework.
It has to be immediate. That's like I said, like the Mishnah that I can't find. Right. You go by the immediate framework. We have to find that. Somebody got it. All right.
Destruction. I mean, if we didn't have destruction in anything, we'd have nothing to be destroyed. Everything would exist.
Yeah, but they're not controllable. I mean, dynamite is a good thing. I mean, I don't know. Is dynamite a good thing?
But not volcanoes.
I don't know if dynamite's a good thing. Look around the world today. People are strapping dynamite across their...
It's just a higher form. Coal mines.
But the point is that you can't say Chagovim could destroy in a useful way. They're uncontrollable destruction. You don't want uncontrollable destruction. I think you'd rather have to exert the effort and clear out your field than to have a chance thing that your whole crop might be destroyed. Right? Yeah.
The existence for the Makos isn't enough to...
The existence for the... Well, right. That was different. That was more than there ever were. That was more than the norm. But it says that's why they were swept away. Right?
Right.
So they couldn't eat them.
Yeah.
Right, the frogs were left to rot. But the Chagavim, it would have been beneficial if they would have stayed, right? Is there actually the wind blew them back?
Clearly they weren't French.
That's true. Yeah. So anyway, but they do have it once in a while in the Midwest. You do see it on TV. They have like a complete covering, and they're like, it's, you cannot step without crunching on these things.
And a couple years ago,
you can't drive. It's dangerous to drive. No, like skid on the roads.
That's nothing.
That's just
gets, like,
noisy.
Slippery, the roads get, like,
yeah, because it's totally covered. Every square inch is covered.
Like snow.
So hey, you don't want that. But I guess they have a purpose where they are, but when they come into where man is, that's not what they're for. You're right. They must have a purpose. It is beneficial in the ecosystem to have things that raise raise crops to the ground.
But man doesn't reflect on things that are so far away.
Forest fires are also good. But you don't want one coming through your log cabin. Thank God for the forest fires. You can't say that, Shevach, when you're inside the burning house. Right? Okay.
Can you say that, like, there's a benefit for the forest and there's a benefit for the fire?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The Shevach goes by man. The Shevach goes by how man relates to it. And these things are not, Chagavim are not meant for man. So that when man interacts with Chagavim, it's not good. It's not something you can give Shevach on. Yeah, so that's what seems to be the three frameworks, right? The culinary, according to the Ri, monetary, according to Rashi, and utility, according to the Rambam. Right?
Can you explain the utility again, please?
Yeah, in other words, the Ram is saying that vinegar is going to be not a minklava because it has a great utility. It doesn't matter that it monetarily affected you. That's not the framework that we're talking in. And Rabbeinu Yonah would say, yeah, but as an entity of Ochel, it reflects a klala. It's interesting. He seems to have like a slightly different idea, Rabbeinu Yonah. But anyway, so what do you say, Lear? So are we getting any closer? Or are we just getting any closer to answering the question, or just clarifying the problems? Machlokas. So, what's the machlokas between Rashi, between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda? Let's say you want to take it each one. It seems to me that according to Rabbi Yonah, the machlokas is a little different. Seems to me the question is he holds that the bracha is really only on the entity as an ochel, right? The only thing is he seems to say that according to the Rabbanon, you can't make a bracha on something that reflects klala. It's a separate, it's a different idea. Different question.
On the Rabbani, you mean Rabbi Yehuda?
I mean Rabbi Yehuda. You can't make a bracha on something that
reflects kala only in the culinary kala framework, though.
But that's his only framework. In other words, he's saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the only framework is culinary, because it's a food. What do I have to talk about it in terms of monetary, all these other things? I'm eating it, it's a food. You know, he goes, one, he really is sticking with the culinary. And maybe you're right. He's not exactly, I don't know if we could lump him exactly with the other, with the chilek, with the broad chilek that we made. He seems to say that really only making the bracha on the entity as an ochel. And you are being nene. The only problem is, there's a separate machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Chum. Can you give a shevach on something that reflects the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of klala as well? You understand? Or is that a tarta de sastri to shevach? This thing also reflects midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of klala. So on something that you are being nene from, and you're giving a shevach on, can you give a shevach when it also reflects klala? Or is that sort of neutralizing?
Would say according to this that it's not a part of the disaster?
They say that, it's a good question. It's a good question to define that machlokas more precisely.
When you say midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of klala,
yeah,
it's midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of klala only in the realm of ochel still, because chagavim would seemingly reflect.
That's the only realm he's in.
That's the only realm.
He doesn't have to make that distinction.
No, he knows that since you're eating and you're nene, you don't have to go to bigger realms. You stay in the realm of ochlim. The only thing is, in the realm of ochlim, this reflects the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu of klala. To you, it might not be a klala, but it does reflect that. Is that mafkia? The shevach. I don't know how to define it any better than that. I don't know precisely the two sides. But that seems to be, that's the question. I think that's the question. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Chum according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right?
So you're not going with the result on
with Rabbi Yehuda? With Rabbi Yehuda, it would seem we have to step off for a minute. Draw another line. But I'm just trying to show you can't be stubborn in your approach, you know? Mm-hmm. It was all planned. So anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rashi and the Rambam, it would seem they agree that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chum is whether you have to be able to give a shevach on the entity outside of the framework of ochel. More of an objective sense, but what they're arguing though on the framework, which is also difficult to find. Now what? According to review, according to Rashi. See, really, it seems different though. I mean, it seems to me that still what we said on Friday is true in the chilek between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rashi is talking about it in terms of how it affects man. Right? Its effect on man. If it has a negative effect on man, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it cannot be Meshabeach. Right? And monetary is the widest effect. Most encompassing
because it affects other areas as well, or
because
it applies to everything.
I mean, it's the greatest objective measure of effect. It's an objective thing. If you just say it saddens people, I mean, that's not an objective thing. Mm-hmm. It has a true effect. I don't know. But the Rambam holds on the entity itself. The entity itself. The Rambam and the Rashi are each going to the greatest sphere, but in different frameworks. Rashi is going to the greatest extent in terms of how it affects man, right? And the Rambam is going to the greatest extent in terms of the the existence vis-a-vis man, which is utility.
It seems like that's further, though, no?
There are different frameworks. There are different frameworks. Is it the object or the way it affects man?
Either way, even when you say it's the object, it's still the way the object affects man.
No, it's not how it affects person.
You're not making a shot on the effect.
That's true, Rashi, but it's the fact that you could use the effect.
Obviously, it's related to man, but it's not a relationship of the object's impact on. It's not the relationship of the object's activities' impact on man. That's Rashi. Because what impact does this have on man? Does this thing's existence bring with it a negative impact? Right. So then the Chamra does, because its coming to existence does impact man negatively. But in an objective sense, in the most objective sense, not you, me, him, objectively. But the Rambam is saying, does man benefit from this thing's existence, or is he harmed from its existence? Think about that chiluk. Think about that last chiluk.
Excuse me one more time?
Yeah. Well, we're saying that Rashi's saying it's the monetary, right? And Rambam is saying it's the utility. Right? That chilek you have? So I'm just maybe doing too much. Trying to go one step further into what does monetary represent and what does utility represent. So I'm saying that monetary is saying let me think about it a little more. I mean, the truth is that Rashi is going, the Rambam is saying the thing as it exists, right? Take the thing as it exists. So you can't talk about, well, the Chagavim, you can't talk about, well, the Chometz came through bad, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the thing as it exists, right? In other words, is the way it exists useful to man or harmful to man, right? Just the way it exists. Whereas Rashi is saying, you have to take into account its full impact, even its coming to being.
So, wait, according to Rashi, then these three things wouldn't really matter. Like, if you had like a loss of money, and somehow because of that loss of money you came into contact with just regular fruits, then Rashi would say that you
right. That has nothing to do with this.
Why?
Because it's objective. It doesn't have to do with you. It was, are these things come through loss of money or not? Has to be, do these things come through loss of money?
Existence.
According to Rashi, has to do with how it came. Right? According to Rashi, has to do with how it came.
What's the link between how it came and monetary? What
through monetary loss.
Well, we're supposing that Rashi's favorite was monetary. All Rashi said was, but...
Well, what's the klola in each one? What's the klola in each one? It's born like they claw. What's the claw in each one?
Right.
And how do you unify those three cases to one claw?
But how's the born relevant to a monetary framework?
What's the claw is relevant to a monetary framework?
Right. Okay. We can spend a few minutes in the morning. Let's just try to clear it up. Alright, so then do the chomates.